I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. President and CEO of E.W. Scripps Company, Rich Baney, is on the money with Chris DeSimeo this morning.
The final week of August wrapped up yesterday on Wall Street. Markets waiting with bated breath on every word from Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke out at Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Of course, they were also treated to lots of political commentary and analysis throughout the week, thanks to the Republican National Convention, which also wrapped up in Tampa. And, of course, concerns about the Hurricane Isaac and its impact on the oil business also weighing on the markets. Of course, a lot of it last week and every week, for that matter, covered in the media. We get our news in a number of different ways. Some of us still read old-fashioned newspapers. Some of us go online. Some of us still listen to the radio. Some of us watch TV. Some of us do all these things. The media world has been quite dynamic. And speaking of dynamic, it's a pleasure to welcome back into the studio our friend Rich Baney, who is the chief executive officer of E.W. Scripps, which is a multifaceted media company headquartered here in Cincinnati for how many years, Rich?
Oh, my gosh. It's a 130-year-old company, and Cincinnati has been home pretty much the whole way.
It was a gentleman named John Locke Scripps, who was in the media business in Chicago, who kind of nudged Abraham Lincoln to maybe go a little further than he originally thought he was going to.
Wow, boy, that's going way back to the days when you had the true press barons, right?
That, yeah.
Played an enormous role, especially in the politics of this country.
Yeah, well, of course, politics and the media have gone hand in hand, and your company is, again, a diversified media company. You own newspapers and TV stations. No radio, though, correct?
No radio. We got out of the radio business about 20 years ago.
Okay.
Not that we don't like the radio business.
Nothing wrong with it, of course.
No, it's a great business.
So you have, last time I counted, about 19 TV stations.
Right. And we just added some markets recently.
Okay. How many of the TV stations that you have are in what would be called battleground states?
Well, the battleground states move around all the time, but as we sit here today, I guess in the wake of Clint Eastwood's speech last night, we're in strong states like Ohio. We have two stations, Cincinnati and Cleveland. We're a big player in Florida, Michigan, Colorado, Indiana. So we play a role in many of the big swing states. So
sure.
We're one of the primary partners for the political candidates.
In addition, you also have TV stations, I believe, in Arizona and California.
Yeah, Phoenix and Tampa, San Diego. We have just a fantastic portfolio of some of America's just absolute best media markets.
What are the newspaper properties now that you have? I know there were some properties in Florida and also like the Ventura, California.
Yeah.
They're kind of spread around, aren't they?
Yeah, but for the most part, we're southeast, Naples, Florida, Treasure Coast of Florida, Knoxville, Tennessee, southwest, including Texas, and then a little bit on the west coast. So today we're about 13 newspaper markets, and newspapers this year are roughly 20% or less of our cash flow.
What has happened in the newspaper business with the advent of alternative media, such as online classifieds? How has the newspaper business adapted to that?
Well, we're still adapting. If you think about the business today, it has dramatically less revenue than it had 10 years ago as classified has moved to the internet, to Craigslist, and to platforms like that. But what the newspaper business is in the middle of, and so is the TV business, is becoming actually probably four businesses. You have a print business if you're in a newspaper market. You have a smartphone business, a tablet business, a desktop laptop business. So we absolutely have got to serve people with equal enthusiasm on all these platforms.
And so it's creating that content that then is delivered through those different channels. How has that changed any in the last 20 years?
Oh, my gosh. The changes in the last 12 months have been unbelievable. I tell people all the time, it reminds me of the cable business, where cable was in the ground and deployed for 20 years before things like HGTV, Out of Scripts, and ESPN. And businesses came along that really defined what that platform could do. And we're at that point on the digital platforms today. You're just going to see a dramatic new selection of products come out of TV stations and newspapers serving digital customers on all these different platforms.
Yeah, it's a wonderful story about how your company adapted when 20 years ago the newspaper and TV business, especially the TV business, began to become more fragmented.
Yes.
And this idea of having a network dedicated to just outdoor and indoor home and garden type pursuits.
Right.
It seems obvious now, but it wasn't at the time, was it?
No, it certainly wasn't obvious. And some of your listeners may remember Ken Lowe and I did this show together many times in the years when we were launching and building Home and Garden Television and then the Food Network. It looked very odd at the time. It looked very niche, too small, but Ken's idea for a network around home and garden shelter categories was just brilliant at the time.
Yeah, and of course, not too long ago, because the networks were actually part of your ticker symbol, SSP,
that's right.
It was spun off and now trades separately. I think it's about an $8 or $9 billion market cap.
Oh, yeah, those are huge and great businesses.
Yeah. How long has it been since the companies
were
separate?
It's been 4 years this summer, okay. And the idea was to let the cable networks move in their direction and then take the TV stations and the newspapers. Businesses that we knew had to be restructured and refashioned as not just what they were but also digital media businesses, and to restructure and rebuild that company. And we're pretty much through that, and we're now in great shape.
You have had to close a few newspapers. You used
yes.
to have the Post here in Cincinnati.
That's right.
And then there was a joint operating agreement in Colorado with
Denver.
In Denver with the Rocky Mountain.
Rocky Mountain News. Mm-hmm. That was the worst day of my career by far when I had to go in and close one of America's greatest newspapers.
Yeah. You know, they
people I'd worked with for many years.
Yeah, because there are people involved. You know, it's interesting to see that even though the actual physical newspaper
right.
I used to like getting the Post back because, you know, I could see the baseball scores from the West Coast and come
yes.
home from work and have time to read it.
Right.
But it still has an existence, doesn't it, in the an online existence
There's
of sorts?
There's kypost.com. But what you've just seen in recent years, there aren't cycles anymore. There's no such thing as appointment news. It doesn't come out on a cycle. It doesn't come on at a certain time. Today's news consumers expect it to be there 24/7. And it needs to be tailored to the specific platforms. A smartphone is very different than what's on a TV screen. It's an incredible opportunity. I mean, if you sit where we sit, there's just has never been a better time to be in our business because of the revolution that's going on.
Yeah. You have recently made some acquisitions, other TV stations,
yes.
and another organization or just another branch called Azteca. Describe
right.
that for us for a moment.
Yeah, we picked up some additional TV markets around the first of the year from the McGraw-Hill company that mm-hmm. some of your listeners would be familiar with. So we picked up stations in ABC network stations in Denver, Indianapolis, San Diego, and Bakersfield, California. And then in the deal, we picked up five Azteca Spanish language stations, which gives us an option on the growth and the development of the Spanish language marketplace in this country.
And are those Spanish language stations located in those same cities?
They're primarily in Colorado and California.
Okay. Interesting, because Bakersfield just sort of in the middle of nowhere in the southern end of the San Joaquin Valley, but a lot of oil money is moving there.
That is by far the smallest market where we do business. But it's a great test market. We can try out things in Bakersfield. If it plays in Bakersfield, then maybe it'll work in Denver and Cincinnati.
Wow. What kind of synergies, Rich, are there between print and TV? Are there synergies in where you own properties in different media in the same markets?
Well, you know, we used to, I think we forced the synergies. Today, it's beyond synergies. You have a digital business. If you think about your tablet, your iPad, if you can consume news on an iPad, you don't really care if it started from a newspaper or a TV station. So today, it's pretty much all the same products on
yeah.
the digital platforms. The synergy today is real.
Yeah. Speaking of real, you reported earnings about a month ago.
Yeah.
And you pointed out that ad spending has been going up. What kind of bump do people in the media industry typically expect from ad spending in the four-year political election, in presidential election years, and how does this year compare to others?
Well, I what's fascinating to us is it continues to grow. And every political cycle, the money just continues to expand. And this year for us, because of the way the presidential election was shaping up, it started early and it was very strong. So if you're here in Cincinnati, if you're in Cleveland, if you're in Denver, you would think it's the end of October that we're right about to vote. If you go other places like California, you wouldn't even know there's an election.
Yeah.
because today it's so focused on the swing states, and those down to the neighborhood swing voters is where all the money's spent. It's a dramatic, it creates an every other year cycle for a company like ours.
Yeah, so happening to own media properties in battleground states such as Florida and Ohio is not a bad business to be in.
I don't know. We love state capitals. We love politically active states. We have a 365-day-a-year political office in Washington so that we can broker political advertising efficiently. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's and at the same time, we gear up, we cover, we take every debate we can and put it on our air. We're sort of a holistic, full-contact player in the political game.
We've got about 40 seconds left, Rich. You went to Haiti earlier this year. What was that about?
Yeah, I got an invitation from the Episcopal University in Port-au-Prince to come and teach a seminar and work with media students there. And it was an incredible experience. And maybe some who are listening have been to Haiti as well. There's no journalism news infrastructure there today, and it's going to take a long time to build one. But it's still that kind of city where you walk around, you think, where do we start?
Yeah, and you were part of the start. Well,
it was great.
Yeah. Well, Rich, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Rich Benny from EW Scripps, thanks for sharing part of the
weekend.
Always
an honor, Chris. Thanks so much.
And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.